Perhaps you'd like to turn in your Bible to the book of 1 Chronicles and chapter 29. And in the light of our studies of late, we are keeping in mind David's times. Psalm 31:15, some David's times were in God's hands, all of his times. So as he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he would fear no evil, for God was with him. Now, and as he come to the end of David's life, God makes a note to remind us about David and God. And as we did on Sunday in that, 1 Chronicles 29 and in verse 30. With all his reign and his might, and the times, there's your little word, the times, remember, think we shoot times, just think of little segments we share together, little segments like this, segment and a segment and a segment and a segment, all segments of time, the time, whatever's going on anywhere in forever, whatever is going on anywhere forever, those times. David lived in these times. We live in this time. With all these times, we live in them. And thus you'll note, not only does it involve David, but I'll read it again, with all his reign and his might, the times that went to pass over him and over Israel and over all the kingdoms of the country. So everything is included. Everything is included. There's nothing excluded. Whatever's going on up in God's heaven now is that part of it, part of our earthly existence, what's going on up there. Now, having said that little bit, so as we're going and looking at the new year and all of that, and keeping that in mind, so the clock and the calendar go on. They go on, ready or not. Tomorrow will turn into today. The next day will turn into tomorrow. Everything keeps going from today to tomorrow, today to tomorrow, all the way down the line. Now, in the light of that, the clock doesn't change. You can't stop the clock. You can do whatever you want with your watch or whatever you want to do. But using the atomic thing up there with a floating around, that clock is ticking precisely, all around, never stops. No matter what anyone anywhere in the country thinks, the clock doesn't stop. And the calendar doesn't stop. It doesn't change. By that I mean we can't go, we can't stop the clock, and we can't stop the calendar. So the calendar goes, and whether you like it or not, you go to the next page. You don't have to turn the page. You can still live in December if you want, but it'll be January. So you have to take your pick, but you can't stop the calendar. You can't stop it. You can't stop either. Hang on. Now, interestingly enough, in the mail today came this thing from the Hartford Courant. You may have got it. Interestingly enough, remember, you can't change the calendar. But the Hartford Courant's thinking ahead, is going to tell us the future. The Hartford Courant, section 25, Saturday, January 2nd, 2021. January 2nd, How's that? Is it January 2nd? That's what the paper says. That came today. And I can imagine we get next day, we'll know what's going to happen next week before we even get there. Now, you can try to do this, but you can't do this. You can't do it. Therefore, if you would, a little exercise, if I can, in the light of all of that. Go with me, please, over to the book of Exodus. Exodus in chapter 14. Exodus in chapter 14. Remember, you can't stop the clock. You can't stop the calendar. No matter how you want to do it, you can't do it. With that in mind, remember now, Israel has been in Egypt 430 years in the Egyptian bondage and the iron furnace, as it were. And Israel has been in that, and God has a wonderful plan. Keep that in mind. God, the only God, the only Savior, for His glory and honor, He's outworking His plan and purpose. And in other words, history begins, Genesis 1:1. A history ends, Revelation 21. 20, it ends. God, you start something and you keep it going, because you have a plan. Remember, we shared the painting, etc. And God's going to finish the canvas, going to finish the painting centered in the person and work of Christ, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God's going to do what He's going to do. Now, back in Exodus, Israel is exited from Egypt after 430 years. And in the process of being exited, now, if you were living, it's just, you won't have to do it each time to see it. If you were living in Israel, and Moses, we haven't got that far, so we really can't do it, but make believe they could have read in Moses, could have read Genesis, make believe. They could have read it, but it wasn't, they couldn't, but they could have. In the process of reading Genesis, they'd say, well, maybe it's 200, we've been 200 years in Egypt, so maybe we can get out of Egypt pretty soon. But no, you can't get out of Egypt till the 400 and ultimate 430 years are finished. You can't get out. You can't change the calendar. You can't, it's programmed. Now, so here they are, they get out. And so it's a crisis. Time is like this, segments. And then there's something, and there's another segment. And there's another segment, like going up steps. Here's a flat step. Every now and then you hit a crisis and have to go up horizontally to another step. And then you go along and you hit another crisis. Everything isn't a crisis. Crisis is when something changes dramatically in history. So here's step. Now here's a step. 430 years have gone by and a step takes place. And in Exodus chapter 14, picking up if I can, in verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should be in the wilderness. Now, they haven't crossed the Red Sea yet, but it is wilderness. They aren't in the land of Goshen, of plenty and water at the end of Egypt, the Nile River, Mediterranean Sea. They aren't there with all of that plushness. There isn't any. And there they are. Now, and they're at the Red Sea, and the Egyptians on the other side. And verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, You shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Don't make a whole lot of noise about it. And don't complain, don't murmur, don't mumble. Just look to God. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, who's the one that's listening and believing, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That's what I want. They're going to tell them, here they are at the Red Sea. The Red Sea's in front of them, 4.5 miles across, I think. And in the process, there's no way. Go forward. No, that's what God said. No, you'd say, well, God, you can't. No. In God's will, at the right times, and the times are in my hand, his hand, at the right times, things happen, and it's the time for them to happen. It's the time for Israel to have, they have an appointment with God at Mount Sinai. Therefore, they've got to cross that Red Sea, get into the Sinai Peninsula, and get down over there to Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. They've got to do that. Now, God, what did you tell them? What's Moses to understand? You've got to go forward. We don't sit there and complain. We aren't going to go and fight the Egyptians. We aren't going to go and let the Egyptians watch them get clobbered. No, we're going to cross the Red Sea. That's what we're going to do. So we have to go forward. God, they aren't ready to go forward. They would like to go back to Egypt, always, it seems. But they can't. They can't. They're going to have to cross. Now, in particular, keeping that in mind, if you would, having to go across, another little point in history. Here's all the history moving down the corridor like this. Bum, down, down. We can't go back. You can't change the calendar. You can't stop the clock. You can't go back. You must go forward, always forward. Hang on. So, verse 29. And in verse 29, you will note, please, if I can, in the light of all of it, and the waters, after the waters, the Lord opened up the Red Sea, etc. And the waters returned, the Egyptian army's out in the middle of it, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. And there remained not so much as one of them. And the water all fell back, the dry land disappeared. There's no way to go back to Egypt. You can't go backwards. You can't go backwards. You must go forward. You can't go backwards. Egypt, oh, they even in the time and again, as you know, they wanted to go back to Egypt. You never can go back to Egypt. You never can go back. So as you move forward, to say it quickly for us, once you come to know the Lord, you have to know the Lord if you really know him. God isn't known and knowable and unknowable. You know him, but you don't know him. You know him. Think of old Methodism and Nazarene. You know, you can get. Why do we keep coming to the altar? So we can get saved again. We got to get saved again. We got to get saved again. You can't get saved again. You only get saved once. You're only born once physically. You can't be born twice physically. It's just impossible. Your mother wouldn't allow it. You understand? Does that make sense? You just can't do it. So, having said that and keeping that, general principles of history and time and everything, go along with me over in the light of that, over to chapter 17. And here they are, they cross the Jordan, they can't go back. They can't go backwards. They can think about it, dream about it, complain about it, but you can't go back. So therefore, that doesn't do you any good to sit and wonder, which is what they did, wanting to go back to Egypt, and that made them so they couldn't enjoy where they were, because they were always looking to be someplace else. They wanted to be someplace else in some other way, for some other reasons, and they couldn't be. It wasn't going to happen. Chapter 17 of Exodus, if I can, picking up in thought, in chapter 17, verse 3. Remember, the people now were in the other side of the Red Sea in the Sinai. And the people, chapter 17, verse 3, and the Lord lifted, and the Lord thirsted there, and the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, because he's there, they aren't happy with what he's done. He led them across. Who led them across the Red Sea? Moses did. They didn't want to go across the Red Sea, but they had to go across the Red Sea. And who was the rascal that took them? Moses. Moses did it. So here's Moses again. And they're complaining. Always Moses. He's the leader. Now, and Moses, verse 4, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do? What shall I do unto this people, that they are almost ready to stone me?" And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take of thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod that ye opened the Red Sea, wherewith thou smotest the river, and take in thy hand, and go." So Moses, what are you supposed to do? Well, they don't want to go. They want to go back. They're complaining. They're complaining about everything. What do you do, Moses? Well, the clock can't change. The calendar can't change. And God's plan proceeds. Like it or not, understand it or not, there it goes. So now, here we go. And Moses, what are you going to do? You've got to go on. You've got to go on. Go hit the rock. The water will come out. They'll be happy for the moment. And then you go do it. So that's what they did. And that's what he did. And remember now, they went to, without catching that part of it. And in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, they went in tents. The 12 spies went into the land. And they came back, and 10 of them were unbelieving. And the giants and the chariots and iron and the walled cities and grasshoppers were little grasshoppers against the big, big giants. Wow. And God said, "I want you to go." They didn't go. They didn't go. Now, what happens if we don't want to go when God tells us to go? Well, everything's going to keep going. But you know what? They spent 38 years in the going around and around and around. And they never went anywhere. Hang on to that. Never went anywhere. My life, what's wrong with my life? You were to go forward and grow, but you didn't want to grow. So you went around and around and around and around. And 10 years later, you had the same around and around and around. And you never get there. You never get there. Hang on. Now, so having said that, so they rejected and they ended up instead of going from Kadesh into the land and possess it, they didn't. In 11 days, they could have done so. Over to Joshua chapter 3. And in Joshua chapter 3, you would recall, as we did that, and God in his wonderful grace, goes, and they come to the Jordan River. And what are they going to do in the Jordan River? They're going to go, and they're going to cross the Jordan River like they crossed the Red Sea. How are they going to cross the Jordan River? The same as they crossed the Red Sea. On dry land, God's going to open it up. But this time, God makes it clear going forward. They could have gone straight from Kadesh in the southern part of Palestine into the land, but they didn't. So here, chapter 3, as you'd recall, verse 4. Joshua helped them. And there show There shall be a space between you and it, that's the ark, in the middle ark of the covenant, in the middle of the Jordan River, about 2,000 cubits, that's 3,000 feet, a little over half a mile, 3,000 cubits, I think. And by measure, come not near unto it, that you may know. What are you supposed to know this time? When you crossed the Red Sea, it was one thing, to know the way which by which you must go. For you have not passed this way heretofore. You have never done this. You went from Egypt to the wilderness. I wanted you to get, after a year, to get out of the wilderness, Mount Sinai, but you didn't do it, and now it's the 40th year. Now, all of your moves that you had to happen, this one, you've never made this move. But we crossed from Egypt, true. You went to the Sinai, you did. You never made this one. This time, you're going to step into the land that I have promised you, the good land, with milk and honey and everything. Hang on to that. That's where you're going to go. You've never done this before. You've moved. Believers get saved, and they stumble along, we do, and we try to get there inch by inch, whatever, and we try to get there, and boom, we stumble along. And you know, one day, as we're growing, just like a little child wakes up one day and realizes they're a real person on planet Earth to have the same experiences that their mother and father do and everything else. You wake up to that. You don't have that at age 2. You have to get there. Believers have to get to the point, if they do, where they discover Christ in them is their life. They have to discover that. But we're saved. We didn't talk about that. We're talking about, hang on, if we can get there fast. We won't, but we try. Now, so here we are looking, and here's Joshua. It's a whole new way, a whole new direction, and everything is new. So in the process, quickly moving, we're going to go through, and we have the unbelief. Israel doesn't believe. And they go through, they don't stay very long in the land. Remember, under Joshua, in 7 years they conquered 33 kings and took the land and possessed it. And they were to live in the land and enjoy the land. It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. But you know what? They didn't enjoy the land. How do you mean? They were to enjoy the land in that place, a whole new way of life. Not like in Egypt, not like in the wilderness, a whole new experience. But you know what? They never had it. What do you mean? They were supposed to enjoy life in its fullness. They were supposed to be blessed as no other people on earth. They were to be blessed above all people that existed. That was God's plan. Nothing to do with being humble or anything. It was God's plan to demonstrate his marvelous person. And demonstrating God's marvelous person in you isn't you going to be limited. It's God being unlimited. Hang on. So here we are going, and you'll see it, Deuteronomy chapter 7. And you'll pick up nicely Deuteronomy in chapter 7. And in the process, you get the whole flavor of it, but I want you to see the difference. What God, and without going to back to Exodus, God would have taken care of their health. Not only their wealth, but their health. Do you understand that? God would have, they were to be blessed, exceedingly different. but they didn't want to believe God. And therefore, they lived an ordinary life through the time of the judges, the times of the kings, the captivity, to where they are today. Where's the extraordinary Israel? Where was it in Judges? Where, apart from David's grace to Israel, where was the blessedness? Watch it. Just all kinds of ways. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Chapter 7, go to verse 6, you'll see it. Chapter 7 and verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So there's no one like him. No one like him. All wonderful context. Sliding over, if I can. Picking up in verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you will hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee, shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto your fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will bless the fruit of thy womb, bless the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thy oil, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male nor female barren among you. You shall, or among your cattle. Wow. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Now, if they had been blessed, they didn't want to be blessed. They ended up with judges. They would have, that's spectacular. That's what God wanted. God wanted to demonstrate. He demonstrated it in his person in Christ Jesus. So when they're there, there's no one like him. No, he's what a remarkable man in his perfect humanity is Jesus Christ. That's right. Only God can make a man like that, see? Only God can make Israel like that. But Israel didn't want to do it. They wanted to be normal, ordinary. We want to be like the other, later, Samuel, like the other nations, and that's what they are today. You want to be like the other nations, and that's what you is. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so God chose Israel out of the iron furnace to bring them into a land where God would bless them in every way, in a most wonderful way, God would do so. Now, having God would do that. So here comes history and the captivity, Nebuchadnezzar, and Israel is just out of the land. They want to be ordinary, and that's all they are. Are they in the land of promise? Yes, but they aren't knowing the God of promise. They aren't knowing the blessing of God at the moment. They're knowing God's sovereign keeping of them, absolutely. Now, so here we are looking at that, and Daniel, remember, without turning there, here we are, and Israel lived in the days of the iron legs. Daniel, the image, Daniel 2, the image, the iron legs, and then it moves to the feet of iron and clay. That's where we is. Iron and clay, that's where we are right now. History, all moving along. Here we are, iron, we create the feet of iron and clay. What's the end of the foot? The toes, the 10 toes, the European community. Wow. Now, and here's Israel. Now, and remember now, the captivity, Nebuchadnezzar, and in all of that, in Daniel chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, what are they doing? They aren't going to bow down to the dumb system. They're God. They're God's people. And they're God's people, and they don't bow down to the stupid, stupid system in a wrong way. They don't do that. And so, therefore, they ended up getting thrown into what? The fiery furnace. a big account, Daniel. It's an awesome thing. And God had him get in the fiery furnace. Oh, God, if you guys just had bowed down, even made that, may even be a bow down and at least look like you're bowing down. See? Oh, but they didn't. They defied the whole thing in a good way. And they didn't. They ended up in the fiery furnace. Now, in the process, oh, God, if we just submit to the system, then we can fit in. We don't want to fit in. Israel doesn't need to fit in. They're different. The church doesn't fit in. We're different. We don't fit in. We don't belong in it. God saved you what? Out of it. So, we want to fit in. Now, here's the fiery furnace with Shadrach and them. Did God spare them from the fiery furnace? No, he didn't. He had them thrown in. He had them thrown in, didn't he? The virus, you got the virus. Oh, boy. Wow. Now, here's the fiery furnace. Now, God, the system's doing what it's doing. Here's the fiery furnace. But you know what? They could have stayed in the fiery furnace. They could still be in it if it would stay hot. They could still be in that fiery furnace. And finally, when they got out of there, as you know, not a hair, all dressed, same clothes they were thrown in, came out, washed and cleaned, sanitized, and out they came, you know, and not one hair of their hands or head was burnt. Now, God, you can't do that. Yes, he can. Can God keep his promise to Israel and bless them like no other nation? You bet. But it's going to take the millennium to happen. It's going to take the tribulation. The times have to march on. The calendar has to keep going. You can't stop the clock. It has to keep going. Why? God has a wonderful purpose and plan. And either we catch on when it's our time and turn, or we don't catch on. And we live and we die. And we never caught on to the time that was in our hand. Wow. Now, keep that in mind. So here we are going down the corridor of time today and in God's wonderful grace. And God's going to do a most wonderful thing. And keeping in mind, we are in conditions that never, never, never. It's another year. You know, all the other years, I try to think back. The Second World War, December 7th, 1941, and that. That new year, that year, that 30 days later, that was a different year, wasn't it? When we started when we changed the war. Yeah. But you know what? We went through it. We haven't had another time like that. I'm trying to think it through history. And I don't remember another time like that. I remember December 7th still. I don't remember that. I don't remember another time that we've ever had such a dynamic, dramatic change in history. I don't remember we've ever had it till now. So the new year is we just normally a new year, calendar, eat your whatever and go to work. But you're not going to find the same year that you just left. You're in a whole nother new year that's new and different. And it's not the old new. It's a new that you face. Awesome. Now, and that's global. That's national. That's political. You understand all that? There's no way to escape. Oh, we can't escape. Sure you can. People lived in Russia for years under Stalin and all that. And you live under that. You go to the grocery store, eat what you eat, and and they do what you say, do what they say to do, and use your coupons and everything. You know, if they let you have so much health insurance to be able to go to a doctor, everything's like social. We can do all that. We'll do that. Ordinary. What happened to the awesomeness? Well, the church gets, like Israel, is where we are. Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3. Here we are going, and we're looking at the end of the age. And that's where we are. We're rich. The church is content with the world. The world's getting content with the church in a sense, maybe not so much in the days ahead, because they got to get rid of the Bible, and you that believe the Bible, and you that carry the Bible, and you that listen and talk about things to people, about God and His grace and His mercy and His providence, and the times, our times are in His hands. So now, having said that, a new year, national, social, global, etc. And all of that is taking place in an awesome way. Now, having said that, so in the light of that, so here's our country. Here's our country, as it were. And the changes have already been in motion, and they're going to continue to be in motion. And we'll do that coming up here a little bit. I think it may help you. Understand. Let's look at the whole world and see what's happening. Watch it. Mood, movement. The mood and movement that you never had it. Nope, not till now. So, here we are going down the corridor of time, history has to be outworked. History has to be finished. What God started in Genesis, He's going to finish in Revelation. He has to finish. History has to finish. History's going to come to an end. Time is going to come to an end. Revelation 10 and all of that. Time. There's going to be no more time. So we're running the calendar and the clock are going to come to an end. There'll be no more calendar as you know it. There'll be no more time as you know it, etc. No more. It's clicking time. My times are in thy hands as we go down. So, as we go down and looking at all of that and where we're fixing, God is, that's just an illustration. Think of the painting, here's the history. The painting we did the other day in detail somewhat. That painting has to be finished. The canvas that God took and painted His wonderful glory and creation and all of it, that painting, the centerpiece, our Lord, risen, crucified and risen, that has to be finished. The train's going down the tracks, and we're on the train. History is moving, the clock is moving, the calendar's moving. We're going down the tracks, so we're in a car, and here we are. We can look out the window and watch history pass by. We can look at it. But you know, as each year you go by, history keeps moving, and we're at a very awesome point where history is moving in a most wonderful way. And so here's history. We're moving down the corridor, and we're moving. And as we go down like this, and closer and closer, to the grace yielding to wrath, gone. And they'll wonder why that car is empty. You understand? People pass through the train. And how come this car doesn't have any people in it? Well, God took them. Because God doesn't want you to can't go through the tribulation. Got to stop. Can't go through it. It's against the rules. Say, well, but so-and-so says and so-and-so says. Well, they say whatever they want. Do you know we have a wonderful Constitution, Declaration, that's maybe all gone before next, well, for another year you may not see it. So therefore, but you know when you read the Constitution, aren't you supposed to just take the English, they made wonderful English sentences that are just meant to be understood. And what are we supposed to do? Judges and everything. We're supposed to honor what it says and practice it. Well, we're all going to take an oath of office. But come on, you guys, I don't even know the Constitution. They don't even care. So it's a bunch of stuff. My point, God has written in simple original languages and simple English translation what he says and what he means. He didn't ask you to interpret it. He didn't ask you to explain it to yourself and on your terms. No scripture is of a personal interpretation. God meant what he says and says what he means. So God says what he says. I don't argue with him. I either am going to, as a herald, like us guys, herald reads the king's proclamation as it was written. That's what you do. I can't change it. Well, why can't you change it? Because of the sickness and everything. No, you can't change it. You can't, but the blessing. You want to stay in the course and have the blessing, then you better stay on course and believe. And that's what we're struggling. That's what we're hit. We're caught up. Fears and all of it. It's growing. I hate it. And we're losing. We're more caught up in who has what instead of what do you have. You understand? Look at Galatians chapter 2. I'll do that. We did it with a man. I'll do it with you quickly. You're very kind in it all. Galatians chapter 2. Our time disappeared, and that's why we got a new year, so that we can keep going and fill in the pieces. You know. Galatians in chapter 2. We just did it. Now, you know, some things you say, well, you know, you don't have to turn there. If you read Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, we're hidden, our life is hidden with Christ and God and all that. Christ, who is our life. Now, what do you think that says? Christ, who is our life. Now, how do you want to interpret that? Is Christ your life or not? Are you bought with a price or not? Well, that's what we did the other day in the board. What? Discover what? How many people practice Galatians 2:20, which is a simple, well, I'm going to read it. Read it. You say, well, you got to be highfalutin, and you got to be, you know, a believer for 4,000 years and live in heaven. And then you can have Galatians 2:20. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. You say, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. You know all these things. Think of 1 Corinthians 6. You're bought with a what? A price. The Spirit of God, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you received him as your Savior, you're bought with a price. You're not your own. You're his. Well, that's true, isn't it? That's what it is. But Israel, are you really blessed among all nations of the earth? Israel is blessed right now. But it isn't enjoying it. The church is blessed with the being the body. Christ is the head. You're his. You can't get the mumps, measles. Measles, by the way, are more catchy than the flu, the virus. So if you want to have all kinds of things to compare things to, you know all these things. Going in the restaurant is the latest. To get the virus, going in a restaurant to eat is 1.1%. Statistically. let's see, 74% at home. Well, see, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. I died. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, is that true? Ask yourself, is that true for you? You don't have to do it. You can ignore the whole thing. But if you're a believer, and you got a new year, and you're going to have to live through whatever's coming up, and you want to live through it. Do you want to live through it in an ordinary way and slip through it? Or do you want to live through it in an extraordinary way? A blessed way. That doesn't mean you don't go in the fiery furnace. It doesn't mean you don't get the flu. It doesn't mean you don't get a virus. That's immaterial. Do you understand that? So to get caught up in the fear and frustration is so stupid to me. I hate to say that. Totally unnecessary. But we're doing it. Oh. And we think we're helping each other. Oh. We don't realize what media's doing it, everything's doing it. You're being bombarded with it every day in 25 different ways. You got to wear a mask, got to do this, another one. How many people died today? Did another people get marked with the virus? Is the number up? Is the number down? Is the number up in Massachusetts? When do we stop? When do we stop this? And then we don't want to be guilty of feeding it. At least I don't want to be. I don't want us to be. We're guilty of the stupid that. No. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked, but Christ liveth in me, verse 20. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, by or in the faith, faithfulness, resting in God's wonderful Son, of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, we asked ourselves, am I enjoying Christ's life in me right now? Practically, if I asked you to stand up, could you tell me how the life of Jesus Christ is benefiting you right now? Practically, not theoretically, practically. See, we don't practice, not you guys, girls, but we don't practice it. We don't practice it. So we wonder, well, you see, and I'm just telling you, is it true? The life that I now live is Christ. Find me another place where God said, and there's your life, you can have your life and I'll have my life. You're bought with a price. He never gave you the choice for your life anymore. It's his life. It's his piece of property. Then exercise it properly and reasonably. Exercise it. But. No buts. No buts. God's a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior. And God has given us a wonderful position. Israel, remember where everything moves forward? The Lord Jesus Christ is our head right now. We're in his presence. We're the remnant body trying to look to God. And here we are looking to God. And we rightly so, as carefully as we can, among sharing and keeping reasonable interacting and good things. And then here we are looking to God. And God, the God who is right with us right now, is the same God who was with Meshach and Abednego in the fire. He's the same God that went to the cross and loves you. And God said, I want you to love me with all your heart and soul. Do you do that? That's what I want. I'm going to give you, God said, myself. So if you don't mind in return, I want you. That's the arrangement. Are people enjoying God's life right now? Right now. But. No buts. Either you're enjoying the privilege of being tremendously, marvelously, mercifully saved. All you want. That doesn't mean you aren't saved. That doesn't mean that. It just means you aren't enjoying it. And it's no benefit to you. So, you know, yeah. I'm trying to get, that isn't much of a New Year's, is it? But it is. God isn't going to make it, it isn't new. When you got saved, did you become a new creature? 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things have passed away, what? All things have become new. Did that happen to you? Oh, that's another tricky question, isn't it? That newness, when you got saved, the moment you received Christ as your Savior, is right now the same newness. The life that you received the moment you received Him as your Savior is the same life that you have right now. Same Lord, same Christ, same grace, same mercy, and you are steady as a rock in a very volatile society. And you're locked on. Because God isn't changing, and you aren't changing, and He didn't change one thing. And you are a testimony in these times in which you live. The next little segment, we may be in it, we may not. The Lord may take us before we get there. But we're there. And God has given us His wonderful person to make it. And God is pleased to make it and to do it. And that doesn't mean you can't have, and I'll give you my half a cent's worth, a quarter of a cent. I don't care right now if I drop dead, literally. Whatever God wants, that's what I want. If He wants me to get the plague and turn green, green on the top and pink on the bottom, if He wants all that to happen, and orange ooze to come out of my mouth, that sounds pretty bad. Do it. If God wants it. I'm not, God help me, I don't want to be tested, but I will. I'm not being presumptuous. I want to trust God all the way. God help me. I got this far, and I'd like to finish it. Period. So it isn't, you can't get the flu. I could get the flu. I could get this orange plague. But I'm not, that isn't the issue of the stupid plague. It's whatever God's will is. And obviously, it wouldn't look good come Sunday if I have the orange plague, and as I speak, the orange comes out. That wouldn't look good. I know that wouldn't look good. So I'd have to consider getting a mask to cover. Wow. I don't know whether I'm helping you. It's a wonderful future you have. And the future has no beginning. And the future what? Has no ending. Because God is your future, and God is your life. And there is no beginning, and there is no end. God gave you the gift of eternal life in the person of Jesus Christ. No beginning and no end. No new year. Same old you to live through and enjoy your perishing of your body until you find the enjoyment of God's soon coming, even so come. Looking for that blessed hope. Thank you for your patience. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, help us. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you for your caring, God. You know our stupid mind and all of us, God. It's just us. We're struggling along, God, trying to make it through this thing, to do it properly, to do it to your honor and your glory, and not to be part of the dumb system, God, that has nothing to do with you. God, we are to have everything to do with you. You are the beginning and the ending of our life. You are our life. So, God, for the little ones growing up, for all of us, you've got to help us. You just got to do it, God. No matter. And and in the exercise that you are allowing us to have, maybe, God, in the exercise, it will help us to awaken to the fact of the wonderful truths that you have for us by putting us through all of these exercises so that we would discover for real the wonderfulness that you have in mind for us. Like Job, God, he had to go through what he did in order to discover how wonderful it is. And God, if that's so, God, let it be. We're looking to you to help us in Christ's name. Amen. Lord bless you. Happy, 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 happy you. Happy New You. Happy New Year.